Okay, good morning, gentlemen. Okay, we continue in our Gemara in Baba Kama. We're at the bottom of Beis Amud Aleph, 2A, probably the last page of the 2A. Let's quickly review. Again, I strongly suggest that, you know, every day, spend 5 minutes, just go over these notes, and you'll see. I'm hoping that this year everyone will know the entire first chapter by heart, question and answer, you know, the flow, because it's all logic. So if you can just remember the links, you know, that's my goal. Okay, the Mishnah, I'm going to quickly review. The Mishnah says there's how many types of avos nezikin?
Four.
What's the definition of an av? Avos, what's the definition of an av?
Primary.
Written in the Torah, father, right? So Rashi says the primary way to know that it means primary, because it's written in the Torah. There are four types of damagers that are written in the Torah. And what are those four?
Shor, Mave.
Good. Shor is an ox. We're going to see it's a machlokas, Rav and Shmuel, to what damage the ox makes. Bor is a
pit.
Mave is an argument also between Rav and Shmuel. And Hever is a fire that causes damage. Now, what do we know the law is? In that kind of damage, what's the optimal way to pay back if you damage? Well, the optimal way is cash. Cash is king. Okay, that's the optimal way. But if you don't have cash and now you're selling property, which one? The Meitav. Meitav, the highest quality. What's the common denominator before by all four of these damagers?
They all have a person behind it that needs to pay.
Correct. Also, their nature is to damage. Their nature is to damage, and you're obligated to guard them. And if you pay from the best. Why? Now, and we went. The mission went through and said, why can't we mention one of the four, and we'll learn the others from them? We said basically because each one has a stringency that the other doesn't have. And if you want to learn one from two or one from three, there's always some stringency that they have and the other one doesn't have. Therefore, we need to have all four. Okay. Yesterday, we started the central issue of Sugya 1 was the question being, do the toldos of Nezikim have the same law as the avos or not? Meaning to say, the Gemara said, first of all, what's a tolda?
A subcategory,
an offshoot of the larger category. Once the Mishnah says, remember, Mishnah said, arba avos nezikin, there are four avos. The Mishnah could have just said there's four damagers. Why did the Mishnah say four avos? To imply, you know, I thought of a good mushel. Let's say I'd say in this room, there's 12 men in this room. So what do you know from that information there are 12 men in this room? All you know is that there's 12 men in this room. What if I say, and soon there'll be for all of us, there's 12 fathers in this room. What do you know now that you didn't know with 12 men? That there's 12 men that represent a lot more people. There's at least maybe another 50 people that are represented by the 12 people in this room. Right? So you're saying 12 men and 12 fathers, right? You see the difference? Torah, Mishnah would have said there are four damagers. There'd be nothing to imply from that. It says four fathers, that means they're subcategories. You see? That's how the Mishnah, Gemara is attacking that Mishnah. Every word has to be analyzed. Four fathers, oh, there have to be children. Oh, if there's children, now the question becomes, are the children like the fathers? Is the payment for the damages of the subcategories the same as the categories that are written in the Torah? You might think, well, it's written in the Torah, that's what you pay, but it's not written in the Torah. It's a subcategory, maybe the payment is different. Maybe, we don't know. So, we began with one example of avos and toldos, fathers and offshoots, and that was with the laws of Shabbos. What did we say in the laws of Shabbos? Are the toldos like the avos or not like the avos?
They're like them.
They are like the avos. And in which way are they like the avos?
The punishment is the same.
The punishments are the same. If it's intentional, punishment is? Intentional. Stoning. If it's unintentional, animal offering, korban chatas. Now, Then the Gemara asks, if that's the case, if the laws are exactly the same, what difference does it make if it's an av or a tolda? If they're exactly the same, then why are you calling one an av and why are you calling a tolda? So what was the answer? We said, if a person does two separate avos or two separate toldos, you bring two separate animal offerings. Right? But if you do an av and the tolda subcategory right under it, what's the law?
One.
You bring one. Just like if you did the same av twice, you'd only bring one. Do an av and it's tolda, you only do one. That's why we need to know what's the av and what's the tolda to know if you're going to have to give two or one. Then the Gemara said, wait a minute, that answer will work for most people, but it will not work for who?
Rabbi
Eliezer. Because what does he say?
He says every sin is a separate.
Right, and if you do an av and it's tolda, how many korbanos you bring?
Two.
So you're bringing two. So still, what's the difference in an av and a tolda? There's absolutely no difference between an av and a tolda. Right? What was the answer we gave? It's basically a source difference. We say that an av is something that was an activity that was done in building the Mishkan, and it was something that was important, significant. The tolda is something that's lacking one of those two criteria. So the difference is basically a semantic difference. In other words, they both have the same halacha. So in other words, you see something can be called an av and something can be called a tolda because the source of it is different. Even though the halacha can be the same. In other words, an av is something that was done to be used for the building of the Mishkan and was also a significant activity in the building of the Mishkan. Then it was called an av. Anything that's lacking both, either it wasn't in the Mishkan. Let's say turning on a light switch was not in the Mishkan. So now it's going to be a tolda. Or even if something was in the Mishkan, was a relatively minor activity of, let's say, taking off some wood from the wagon, out of the wagon. That would be a tolda. So therefore, the av is called the thing that's prime, it's important, and in the Mishkan, tolda lacking one of those two, but the halacha is the same. The main thing we now know, by Shabbos, the av and tolda are the same law. Good. Now we're going to move ahead and go to another realm of halacha, in the laws of tuma, impurity. Now in the laws of impurity, there are going to be three levels of impurity. Okay? There's going to be something called an av of tuma, a father of tuma. There's going to be something called a tolada of tuma. As a matter of fact, there's one more thing, something called avi avos, the grandfather of tuma. Now, the grandfather of tuma, what do you think is the grandfather of tuma? What gives off the most tuma in the world?
A dead body.
A dead Jewish body is called an avi avos. It's a father of fathers. That's the top. But then we've got something called an av and something called a tolda. Now we're going to see, does the av and tolda by tuma, do they have the same laws or not? So now we are at the
bottom line.
All right. One second. Get to my page over here. Gabi tumas tanan. Okay, the fourth word of the bottom line. Bottom line, fourth word. Gabi tumas, regarding tuma, impurity, spiritual impurity. Tanan, there's a Mishnah in Kalim that says the following. Avos hatuma. What are the fathers of tuma? It lists the fathers of tuma are hasheretz, shratzim, rodents. Rodents are a source of tuma. There's eight specific rodents. If they die and they come in contact, they give off a tuma. That's number one. Vashichvas zera and semen is something that gives off tuma. Utame meis, and someone who touched a dead body. Not a dead body, that's the father of fathers. Someone who touched a dead body. Those are the three avos hatuma, the fathers of tuma. Shrutzim, rodents, semen, and someone who became tummy through a corpse. Okay. Now, that's number one. Now, the Mishnah, regarding that, So what happens is, if any of these three touches something else, if these three things touch something else, let's say touches you, let's say a dead rodent touches you, or we'll see, touches something else, it makes them a tolda. Okay, they become a tolda. Okay? We'll see. Right now we'll just say touch anything for the sake of simplicity. So we have the Aviavos, the father of fathers, is a dead person. Then there's three fathers. Three fathers are those eight rodents that are dead, Semen, and someone who touched a corpse. Now if those three touch something, come in contact with something else, those something else's that come in contact with that become a tolda. Become a child. And they also will give off tuma. Okay? It's like, you know, tag. Tagged you, you're it. Now you're going with the next guy, right? So you've got...
It's more like cooties.
Yeah, spiritual cooties. Okay? So you got the three of us, the three fathers. If any one of those three fathers touches something else, then they make those things a tolda. And they are tamei too. Okay, now the question is, when the father makes something tamei, does it have the same status as when the tolda touches something tamei? Let's say a dead person who just came back from a funeral and was touching a dead body. Okay, he comes over to you and shakes your hand. Okay, and you weren't at that funeral. Now you are become tamei also. You become Tom also, but you're not an Av, you're a Tolda. Okay? Now the question is, now you shake someone's hand. Do you have the same status as the father who made you Tome or not? That's the question. And the Gemara is going to tell us. We know the answer over there too. So what is the answer over there? The Gemara says, and we can even call a Tolda, we also call it a Rishon L'tumah, a first degree tumah. In other words, you've got the father, he touches someone, they become a toldo, a first degree tumah. So here's the law. Toldo seyem lav kiyotzebem. The children, the offshoots, are not like the fathers. Now we see in that halacha, they're not like the fathers. Why? Deilu of, because of those three, the person came in contact with the dead, the semen or the eight shrutzim. Dila of metame. What can a father give tuma? Who can he give tuma to? Give tuma to Adam the Kalim. Even touching another person or touching another utensil. And anything else for that matter. Really anything they touch becomes tuma. You're going to wonder, what else is there? Well, how about food and drink? Let's think about what things can be touched in this world. Think of now, let's say you just came back from a funeral, okay? And you're tummy. What kind of things can you come in contact with? Well, you can come in contact with a person. Yes. You can come in contact with any type of utensil. Table, cup, spoon, cereal box, right? Chair. Those are utensils. You can come in contact with food. You can come in contact with drinks. Okay? So basically, if a father comes in contact with just about anything, they become tummy. They become tummy. Okay? That's the law of a father. Question?
No, I just thought, well, you know, with Mordechai and some of the Gemaras, you have to be able to, like, kabel tuma.
Okay, that's details. Those are details now. That's good. That's a detail of being mekabel tumah. Sometimes some of these things need prerequisites to accept the tumah. But generally speaking, these four fathers can give tumah to just about anything. Just about anything, except for those little exceptions. But the main categories, people, utensils. Now, utensils also means clothes. Right? So people means 6 billion people in the world can become tumah from you. Okay, but non-Jews won't matter. Jews makes a difference if they're tummy. But anyway, every item of clothing in the world can become tummy. Every material, every utensil can become tummy. All food, all drinks. That's a lot of stuff. That's a power. An av is very powerful. It can make everything tummy. Now, let's move to the next level. Okay, so now, the av touched. Let's say the av touched a person. Person comes tummy. Touched a shirt. The shirt becomes tummy. Touched cereal. Cereal becomes tummy. Touched milk. Milk becomes tummy. Right? Now, what if now those four come in contact with something else? What if now the person that you made tummy, who can they make? What can they make tummy? Can they make everything that the av can make tummy? The answer is no. They have a limited amount of things that they can make tummy. As the Gemara continues, v'ilu toldos, but the toldos, the first degree once removed, only ochli mumashkim, food and drink mitame, adam v'kelim lo mitame, but a person and utensils, they don't make tummy. And we'll just say, why? We just say generally, food and drink are easier items to receive tumah, while a person and utensils are a more difficult thing to contract tumah. So therefore, the secondary, the toldah, only can make a more susceptible thing for tumah, like food and drink. Food and drink are easier to become tameh, but they cannot make a person or utensils tameh. So let's make a little chart over here. We're talking about tumah. So we have the avot. And what are the avot?
Sherets.
Okay, sherets, the rodents. Next is what?
It's
Summon.
Yeah.
And?
Someone who touched the dead body.
Okay. Contact with dead. Now, what are the items that can be... We'll make a little chart. The items that anyone could come in contact with, we'll start with food and drink. And we have also what?
Utensils.
People and utensils. So, these avos can do these, can make these tummy by touching them, and even these can be tummy. They can make anything tummy. Now, next level, toldos, we'll call it first degree tuma, meaning anything that was touched by these four only can make food and drink tummy, cannot make people and utensils tummy. And then, you know, I don't want to go further, then it'll be okay. So now food and drink that are touched by first degree, they become second degree tumah. And then their ability to give tumah decreases. So what do we see? Are the toldos like the avos or not?
No.
Clearly not. So that was number two. So in the laws of Shabbos, the avos and the toldos are the same. And the definition of an av, according to everybody, even Rabbi Lezer, is what? Something that was in the Mishkan that was significant. Here, the avos and the toldos are different, and the definition of an av is these three, and they're an av because they're stronger. So now we've seen something very interesting. There's two ways to distinguish between an av and a toldah. Either halachically, because these are, just like in a simple sense, a big father is stronger than a little son, all right? Or a father is different than a son, right? So here, the fathers are fathers because they're stronger. They can even make people and utensils tummy. The children aren't so strong. They can't do that. So now that's the halachic difference, and that becomes the existential difference between an av and a tolda. By Shabbos, there is no, according to most people, there's a halachic difference. Remember, the difference is if you do the same av of the toldah. But according to Lezer, there's not even a halachic difference. Then what's the existential difference? It's just the fact that they were done in the Mishkan, they were important. So there's two different ways to define something different in an av and a toldah, depending on if they have the same laws or not. With that background, now we have to deal with our issue. We have four avos of Nezikin. The question is, do they have the same halacha? Do the toldos have the same halacha as the av or not? We already know that the reason why we call the av by Nezikin is because they're written in the Torah. The toldos are not written in the Torah. But still, is there maybe a second difference in an av and a tolda? Is there a halachic difference or not as well? That is now the framework of our question. Any questions? I think that was pretty clear. Right? So now, let's look at...
Just one question.
Yes, sir?
So if you take on drink, so if a person, if an avos touches food or drink... So
that drink is tummy.
It's tummy. And now the drink that goes in the cup is not tummy. Unless the person touched the cup.
So correct, correct. The drink now can only make... it's a secondary thing. It can only make food and drink tummy.
Right, as long as the person doesn't touch it.
You need to touch this stomach, because you can't make utensils in stomach.
That's right. Secondary ones can only make food and drink.
But the person who contacted the dead is a primary.
So if he touches the drink alone, if he touches the cup...
It's tummy.
And well, if he touches the cup is tummy, but the cup can't make the drink tummy. Theoretically, a guy comes back from the funeral, he grabs onto a glass of water, he makes the glass tummy, but not the water tummy, because the glass can't make the water tummy. Okay? So now, let's just see now. So now, in terms of moving through the points of the sugya, we now have been given fact number two. There's a Mishnah in Kalim has said that the avos hatuma, which include shrotzim, semen, and one who became tummy through a corpse, the toldos are unlike the avos. In avatuma is metame people and kalim and utensils. A tolda does not. So that's the Gemara's framework. And now a one-line answer. Amar Rav Papa. Rav Papa gives us the answer. The answer is, now this answer will force us to have pages and pages and pages. You'll see why in a second. He gives a simple answer. Yesh mehem, there are some toldos, ki yotzabem, that have the same law as the fathers. Yesh mehem, lav ki yotzabem. And there are some of us who do not, and some toldos who do not have the same law as the fathers. That's his answer. Some yes, some no. Which is interesting. In Shabbos, we said clearly, the of all the toldos have the same law of all the avos. By tuma, we say all the toldos do not have the same law as all the avos. And here we're saying by damages, some toldos will have the same law as their av, and some will not have. Okay, that's a real simple answer, isn't it? Now, obviously, what's going to be the next question?
Which ones are
which? Is which?
Which ones are which? That becomes the next question.
Rabbi,
yeah.
Did Papa come to this conclusion based on the same examples that we're using, or something? Or
he what was given from his tradition that he knows he was taught that that's the halacha. How he knows that, we don't need to know that right now. But that's what he said, and that's the answer. Okay, so give us that answer. So now that's going to give us the job of trying to figure out. Okay. Which toldos are like the avos, which are not. So now, how are we going to figure this one out? Well, basically, what we're going to have to do now is we have to go to the beginning. Because all we have, what information we have so far? All we have is a Mishnah that says there's four avos. Right? We have a Mishnah. Where do we begin this research? This investigation? Right? Well, what facts do we have so far? All we know is that there are four avos. And more than that, we're not even sure what they mean. We said ox. What do you mean you say an ox? An ox is an av. Well, what does that mean, an ox is an av? Well, an ox can damage with its horns. An ox can damage with its feet. An ox can damage with its mouth. So what does the Mishnah mean that an ox is an av? And we're going to see that's an argument. We have to see. What does that mean exactly? You know, and the others, we're not even sure what they mean. So what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to now go through, and really that's something we needed to do for the whole Mishnah also, is we have to now research and now understand why is everything an av? what is it that's an av? And then we have to figure out what are the toldos, and then we'll have to figure out, does it make sense that the toldos like the av or not, in each one of all the avos. We'll have to, at least for now, we have to go through the four avos, define what precisely the av is, then we'd have to understand what precisely would be the tolada, and then we have to figure out, would it make sense for the tolada to be like the av or not like the av? That's the path we have to take. This path will take weeks. Okay? This path will take weeks. So, and we're going to go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. We will not end with teiku. We will not end with wait for Leo to tell us the answer. We will have an answer. Okay? What we'll have an answer is to know, first of all, what's going to evolve from this is we have to now, we're going to learn what really are the avos precisely. We're going to learn what are their toldos precisely. And they're going to learn each one, which one is the tolos exactly like the yav, and which where the tolos are not like the yav. That's not opening up everything we have over here. Okay, that's a general idea for the next few weeks. So now, that moves us into sugya number two. Sugya number two is basically going to deal with the an av that is called Karen. Karen. Okay, just write it here. Okay, Karen. We're going to find out, we're going to be taught that Karen is an av. We have to find out what it is, everything else.
Sorry, Rabbi, Karen is a subcategory of shore.
We haven't said that yet, have we?
Okay.
Haven't said that yet?
It's an av, though, right?
I haven't said anything yet.
Okay.
Mar is going to tell us now. You may have gone a little ahead. It's in your mind already, the answer. But so now let's go. We're now on the top of Beis Amabeis, ready for a little bit. Okay. So we're on Tana Rabbanan. Tana Rabbanan. We're going to now bring a Braisa. Mar brings a Braisa. A Braisa means it's a statement from a rabbi of the times of the Mishnah, but his words were not included by Rabbi Yonasi, but it's a very early statement. And he says like this, look at this. Shalosh avos, there are three avos. Nemru b'shor, included in shor. So now all of a sudden, whoa, yeah. The Mishnah said shor, ox, was one of them. Now, the Braisa says, you know what, that one isn't one, that one is three. Which now tells us, how many of us do we have?
Six.
Because we started with four. And if one of them is really three, so it's not a subcategory of shore, it's what shore is. Shore is three of us. That's what this Braisa is saying. There'll be those who argue on this Braisa. But the Braisa is saying, shore, by definition, is three avos. And what do you think those are? Hakeren. Keren means a horn, which obviously means what type of damage?
Goring.
Hashen, the teeth. What kind of damage is that? Well, that's a good question. Let's think about it. What can an ox do with his teeth? He can eat. But couldn't he bite somebody? Okay, so we'll have to figure out what does that mean. Okay, viregel, and foot. Okay, well, is that the only thing that it does with its feet? How about if he doesn't like the cow next to him? Gives him a kick, right? What if there's a big stone on the road? He kicks a field goal and goes right through the window and breaks it. Where did that come from? The foot. Right, so there's a lot of options. We're not sure exactly what. I'm only translating the words now. We'll see what these words really mean. But one thing's for sure. Now we've been told by this Braisa that when you see in the Mishnah the word "shor," there'll be many will say that means three things. At least this Braisa understands "shor" that way. Whoever the author of the Braisa is, we don't know who the author is, but he feels that "shor" is three things. When you talk of "shor," you got horns, mouth, feet. Three more avos. Good. So now, wait a minute. So now, that's just a one-liner. Nagmar says, okay, very nice. So what have you now told me? That a horn, goring, is an av. Okay. How is Rashi defined an av for us? What is the determination of something is called an av? You go back to how we defined in the Mishnah. First line. Four types of avos nezikin, primary categories of damagers listed in the Torah. So now what do we have to do now? Okay, can you tell me where the Torah source is that when an ox gores that you have to pay? How do I know that? We gotta find the source. We don't have the source. You know, we had a mission just said, sure, ox. We don't know what that meant either. Well, the Bryce is clarifying it. Ox means three things. Okay, let's look at the first one now. We're just looking at the first one now. Horns. Goring. Goring means, that's an av. Somewhere in the Torah, it writes, when an animal takes his horn and he gores, you have to pay. Can you show me where that's in the Torah, please? Now remember, you can't be influenced by Art Scroll's translation of the words. Okay? Because that's cheating. The Gemara didn't have Art Scroll. Gemara just had the words of the Torah, and you had to go from what the words say, and you have to prove the words mean what it mean. In other words, when you see Art Scroll translate a word to say gore, how did Art Scroll know it? You know how he knew it? He knew it from how the Gemara worked its way through figuring it out. Now we gotta do the work of working our way through it so we know where Art Scroll got it from. You'll see in a minute. For example, we'll just start off with this question. So Gemara asks now, so that was a statement of a brisa. We're starting our new sugya with it. Number one, statement of a brisa. Shor has three avos. What are they? You gotta memorize this. Keren, these are words you have to memorize. Keren is a horn. Shein, teeth, which we'll call eating for now to make it easy. And regel, feet, trampling. We'll just say those three. So now the Gemara has a question of understanding. What is the source for Karen from the Torah that makes it enough? So look at the verse it gives us. Gemara asks, Karen Menolan, how do you know that Karen is an Av Malacha? The Tanur Rabbanan, because the rabbis learned the following, and this is found, you could look it up, in Shmos, Mishpatim, Perek Chaf Aleph, Pasuk Chaf Ches. It says, Ki Yigach, remember that word, Yigach, Shor, Es Isha. If an ox, yigachs, I'm not going to translate that word right now, yigachs, a man or a woman, blah, 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 then we talk about the punishment, the payment, blah, 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 blah. But what's the critical word here? An ox is yigach. We got a shor, the word shor is an ox. He did something, he did yigach. What does yigach mean? I don't know what the word yigach means. Yigach could mean a headbutt, yigach could mean a body check. It's a queer word, yigach. I don't know what that word means. You go to, you know, what you know what the word yigach means? You know what the word yigach means? And the rabbis don't know what the word yigach means. What does the word yigach mean? You got an ox that's damaged. He damaged a lot of ways. I don't know what the word yigach means. I know it's a damage, but I don't know. I know an ox does give a damage from the Torah, but I don't know what the word means. So now what do we got to do? We got to figure out what the word means. Right? So that's really, the Gemara, point three is, the answer is, what's the source? If an ox will yigach. Great. So now, the Brisa says, whoa, wait a minute. V'ein negicha ela b'keren. And whenever the Torah uses the word yigach, yigach means using its horn, means goring. The Gemara says, yigach means goring, and that is keren, that's a horn, and that's the source of the Torah. When the Torah says, when an ox is yigach, the rabbis are saying, I'm going to tell you, yigach means goring with a horn. That's what it means.
So how did they decide that on the post?
Good, because that's the next question. The answer was, it says, if an ox will yigach, and yigach means goring. So now the Gemara implies, doesn't say it, but implies a question of understanding. How do we know that the word yigach means goring with its horns? So the Brisa is going to give us two biblical sources. And that's where we're going to stop for today. We need two biblical sources. So what I'm going to email you is the following. I'm going to email you everything we have until now. We finished the first sugya. We started the second sugya through point four. Through point four, and that's what you got to review this week. Next time we meet is Monday. Okay? So now, if you want to be able to know this, it's not hard. I spend every day just 5 minutes. Today, tomorrow, Shabbos, Sunday, four times, review it for 5 minutes. Everybody's got 5 minutes.
There's no class tomorrow.
No class. I'm doing Tanya tomorrow at 7:20. Okay, no class tomorrow. So you got 4 days to review it for 5 minutes. I guarantee if you do it for 4 days for 5 minutes, you'll know everything we learned this week.